الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين. ايها الاخوه بالله، من ضمن فعاليات هذه الدوره العلميه التي هي بعنوان المسدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب رد على بعض الشبهات والدحض والافتراءات، سر اخوانكم من مكتبه الموحدين جزر البحر الكاريبي والولايات المتحده. نرحب بفضيله الشيخ مصطفى مبرم حفظه الله الذي سيحدثنا عن ثمار دعوه الشيخ رحمه الله في اليمن. As part of this ongoing webinar entitled The Revivalist Scholar Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, Refuting Misconceptions and Dispelling Lies, it's our pleasure at Muwahhidin Publications in the Caribbean and U.S. to have with us our noble Sheikh Mustafa Mubram, may Allah preserve him. He will be delivering a lecture on the fruits of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab's da'wah in Yemen. Pray to Fadl al-Sheikh Mashkura Mujura.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen, Nabiya Muhammad, على آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فكما سمعتم وعلمتم عنوان هذه الكلمة وجهة انعقادها وعنوانها أثر دعوة الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى في اليمن، ونسأل الله جل في علاه التوفيق والسداد والهدى والرشاد وأن يلهمنا رشدنا. قبل أن نشرع في الكلام على هذا الأثر، ونبه على أننا لن نستطيع أن نأخذ ترجمة لشيخ الإسلام الإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى، إلا أنني سأذكر تاريخ وفاته، فما عاصر هذا التأريخ المكان قبله وما جاء بعده مما اتصل بدعوته فإنه من الأثر أو من التأثير الذي أثره رحمه الله تعالى. والأمر الثاني، وكانت وفاته رحمه الله تعالى في سنة 1206. والأمر الثاني أنني سأتحدث عن اليمن باعتبار الجغرافي المعروف في هذا الوقت وما قبل ذلك من التحديدات الجغرافية وما شابهها، لا مدخل لها في هذا المقام لأننا نتكلم باعتبار هذا الزمان. نعم.
The Sheikh of Allah Ta'ala began mentioning the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, invoking the salat and salam upon our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He then said that, as you have heard, the title of tonight's lecture revolves around the fruits of the da'wah of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah in Yemen. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his tawfiq and sadad, that he guides us to what is pleasing and that he grants us success to following the path that gains his pleasure in what we say. Into the crux of as time does not permit for a of the Shaykh, we would like to mention simply just a few points about the history revolving around the time that he died and the political situation in the region that we're speaking about, namely Yemen. And so, the Sheikh Muhammad Ta'ala died in the year 1206 after the Hijrah. He died in the year 1206 after the Hijrah. And as we're addressing the area of Yemen, as is now known, the geographical area that's known as Yemen, we're going to talk about that area and the political situation revolving around and what was related to the da'wah of the Shaykh in that area at that particular time. Fadl Shaykh.
وأول ما سنتحدث عنه من النقاط في هذه الكلمة والذي يلزمنا أن نتحدث عنه والحافظ عليها أبطال العالم الإسلامي في الجملة والقطر اليماني باعتبار الخصوص، لأنه هو المستهدف بالكلام في هذا المقام. ويمكن التعبير على أن الحالة التي كان عليها أهل الإسلام في ذلك الزمان وما قبله أيضا ولا تزال آثاره أيضا إلى يومنا هذا هو الجهل بمعاني الدين وأصوله وعدم معرفة حقيقة ما حقيقة ما أرسل الله به رسوله محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهذا يظهر في انتشار الشرك بأنواعه، يعني سأذكر بعض المظاهر انتشار الشرك بأنواعه. وإذا قلنا بأنواعه دخل فيها الدعاء والاستغاثة والذبح والنذر وما شابه ذلك. وأيضا من الأمور الظاهرة انتشار الخرافة. الخرافات كانت منتشرة وكانت مجتمعات الجهل مرتعا لها، وساعد على هذا انتشار التشيع والتصوف. ومن ذلك أيضا خروج المساجد من المصلين، ومن ذلك أيضا ذهاب العلم وانتشار الجهل، ومن ذلك أيضا المنكرات التي أعلاها الشرك ولا تسأل عن دونها، والتي تقع حتى في المساجد عندما يسمى بالأضرحة والمشاهد والزيارات. ومنها أيضا الطعن في الصحابة. وقل كلمة جامعة مخالفة الدين في الجملة والتفصيل. نعم.
أحسن الله إليك. The first point that we should mention, and it's necessary to talk about when addressing the subject, is the general situation of the Islamic world, and particularly the situation of Yemen, when it comes to adherence to the teachings of the deen. Because since we're talking about the situation in Yemen at the time of the Shaykh rahimahullah, we must talk about what was the situation of the practice and implementation of Islam generally in Yemen at that time. Generally at that time, and we're talking about roughly 200 years ago, the time of the Shaykh rahimahullah, 200 years ago in Yemen, that was the situation and continues to some extent to be the case up until today. There was a widespread situation of ignorance about the general fundamental teachings of the religion in Yemen. And the reality, there was an ignorance of the reality of what Allah had sent His Messenger Muhammad with. So, shirk with its various manifestations was widespread throughout the country. Shirk of various types, including making dua to other than Allah, slaughtering in the name of other than Allah, making vows to other than Allah, so on and so forth. Also, from amongst those violations, the basic principles of the religion that were widespread in Yemen at that time were superstitions and following deviant groups such as the Sufi groups and the Shia groups. Something that was also apparent and widespread is that the masajid were empty. Nobody was praying in the masjid. The masjids were empty. Ignorance was widespread. Sins and transgression were widespread, and at the top of them, and the worst of sins, is without a doubt associating partners with Allah, shirk. Even inside of the houses of Allah, acts like this were committed in the houses of Allah. And so, we would find that there were shrines and graves inside the houses of Allah, where dead so-called Sufi saints were buried, and people came to visit them and pray to them, and so on and so forth. Furthermore, it was widespread for there to be criticism and speaking ill of the companions of the Messenger of Allah. And to sum up all of this, we would say that in general, the situation in Yemen was that there were blatant violations of the basic teachings of the religion of Islam. Fadlishir.
Okay.
اي نعم واصل شيخنا بارك الله فيكم.
وهنا سأذكر كلمة للعلامة محمد بن إسماعيل الأمير الصنعاني، وكان معاصرا لشيخ الإسلام الإمام المجدد، إلا أنه سابق له في الوفاة، فقد توفي الصنعاني رحمه الله تعالى 100,000، وكان معاصرا له وبلغته دعوته، وقال قصيدته المشروعة التي قال في مطلعها: سلام على مجد، أو سلام على مجد ومنحنة مجدي، وإن كان تسليمي عن البعد لا يجدي، إلى آخر الأبيات التي قالها رحمه الله تعالى مادحا لشيخ الإسلام ومثنيا عليه وعلى دعوته. فإنه ذكر كلاما نفيسا جدا يبين فيه الحالة التي كان عليها العالم الإسلامي، والتي قامت على إثر هذه الحالة دعوة الشيخ الإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب. وكلامه طويل في تطهير الاعتقاد، إلا أني سأقتضب منه الأمر المهم، وبإمكان المترجم أيضا أن يلخص ذلك بعده. قال رحمه الله تعالى: وكل قوم لهم رجل ينادونه، فأهل العراق والهند يدعون عبد القادر الجيلاني أو الجيلي، وأهل الكهائن لهم في كل بلد ميت يهتفون باسمه، يقولون يا ليلاي يا ابن العزيز، وأهل مكة وأهل الطائف يا ابن العباس، وأهل مصر يا رفاعي يا بدوي، والسادة البكرية، وأهل الجبال يا أبا طيب، وأهل اليمن يا ابن عنوان، وفي كل قرية أموات يهتفون بهم وينادونهم ويرجونهم بجلب الخير ودفع الضر، وهو بعينه فعل المشركين، وهو بعينه فعل المشركين في الأصنام، كما قلنا في الأبيات النجدية: أعادوا بها معنى سواع ومثله يغوط وضد بئس ذلك من ضد، إلى آخر الأبيات التي ذكرها. وقد قرر في تصوير الاعتقاد جملة من المسائل المهمة التي قامت عليها أيضا دعوة شيخ الإسلام الإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب. نعم.
I'd like to mention and quote some of the writings of the great scholar Muhammad bin Ismail al-San'ani, who was a contemporary of Sheikh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, except that he passed away before him. San'ani, he wrote a poem praising Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab and his da'wah, talking about this. Giving salams to Najd, there was the Sheikh mentioned the beginning part of the first stanza of that poem, and basically in this poem he was speaking kindly of the Sheikh and his da'wah. And in this poem he spoke about the situation of the Muslim world, the general condition of violating the principles of the religion that were prevalent throughout the Islamic world, and this was the situation in which the da'wah of Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah arose. Said, I'm going to talk briefly and summarize the speech of Sahani, and the translator can summarize even more, can make it even more concise. Basically, the situation of the Muslim world was that in every village and in every country, there were, if you will, Sufi saints, dead men who people would go to their graves and make dua to. He named a number of countries and a number of men that were in those countries who were dead and gone and buried. But people would go to their graves, instead of making dua to Allah, they would make dua to these dead Sufi saints. This was common throughout the Muslim world at the time when the da'wah of Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah arose. So this was well known in Egypt and Yemen and several villages and countries. They all had their people who these Sufi saints, who the people would go to their graves and call upon them and ask from them what is not to be asked for except from Allah, requesting from them good and seeking refuge with them from harm and evil. And this is no other than the situation of the mushrikeen, the situation of the people of Nuh alayhi salam, who had made those righteous men who died and were worshippers of Allah. After their death, they made them deities who they worshipped instead of Allah. That is, those pious men who worshipped Allah during their lifetimes. After their death, the people came and worshipped the men instead of worshipping Allah. This is exactly the situation of the Islamic world at the time of the da'wah of the Shaykh, rahimahullah, rose. Tell the Shaykh.
كذلك جاء بعدهما بفترة يسيرة، وقبل هذا سبيل التنبيه على أن الصنعاني رحمه الله تعالى له هذا الكتاب الذي عنوانه أو مضمونه بجوانه تطوير الاعتقاد عن أدران الإلحاد، وله كلام كثير في هذا المقام. سيأتي التنبيه على قضية التأثر بدعوة الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله الجميع. جاء بعدهم وعاصرهم قليلا العلامة محمد بن علي الشوكاني رحمه الله، وكانت وفاته سنة 50 و200 و1000، وله كتاب في هذا المقام أيضا سماه الدرب النظيف في إخلاص كلمة التوحيد. وهذان الكتابان قرئا على شيخنا العلامة الفوزان ودرسهما وحضرناهما ولله الحمد، ونبه رحمه الله بعد أن شرحهما وشرح كتاب المقريزي تجريد التوحيد، وشرح أيضا مقدمة الرسالة من الفيرواني، قال حتى يتبين أن هذه الدعوة لم ينفرد بها الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب. الحاصل أن الشوكاني أيضا له كتاب في هذا المضمار، وله كلام كثير في البدر الصالح يبين فيه حالة الأمة في ذلك الوقت، ومنها أيضا في نيل الأوطار عند شرحه لحبيبي علي رضي الله عنه، حبيب أبي عياد الأسدي، وقوله ألا أبعثك على ما بعثني عليه رسول الله، وبه ولا قدرا مشربا إلا سويته. وقد قال الشوكاني عليه رحمة الله من رفع القبور الداخلي تحت الحديد دخولا أوليا، القبر والمشاهد المعمورة على القبور، وأيضا هو من اتخاذ القبور مساجد. وقد لعن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فاعل ذلك كما سيأتي. وقد سار انتبه وقد سار عن تشييد أبنية القبور وتحسينها من مفاسد يبكي لها الإسلام، منها اعتقاد الجهلة لها كاعتقاد الكفار للأصنام، وعظم ذلك فظنوا أنها قادرة على جلب النفع ودفع الضر، وجعلوها مقصدا لطلب قضاء الحوائج وملجأ لنجاح المطالب، وسألوا منها ما يسأله العباد من ربهم، وشدوا إليها الرحال وتمسحوا بها واستغاثوا. وبالجملة انتبه أنهم لم يدعوا شيئا مما كانت الجاهلية تفعله بالأصنام إلا فعلوه، فإنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون، إلى آخر كلام، وهو كلام عظيم أيضا. ولا يلزمك أن تترجم كل حرف، وإنما في الجملة من كان يفهم العربية فإنه يسمع مثل هذا الكلام ويدقق فيه، وتلخص أنت من جملة على ما ترى. نعم.
There were people in the Arabian Peninsula at the time of the Sheikh Rahimahullah who were considered his contemporaries, amongst them Sana'ani, who wrote a book called Taltahir al-I'tiqad, cleansing the creed from the filth of atheism or apostasy. And also from those who were contemporaries of the Sheikh and benefited from his da'wah, and were part of that same movement who were within Yemen, were Shawkan, who died in the year 1250 after Hijrah, and who also wrote a book about, it was a book on Aqidah, the title of the book has escaped me. And both these books that were mentioned, the book of Sanani and the book of Shawkani, were both read upon our Sheikh Salah Fawzan, Habibullah Ta'ala, and we attended these, benefited from these explanations. Likewise, the book of Ibn Qayyim, Tajrid Tawheed, this was read upon the Sheikh and he explained it. And he said that the point is that the Sheikh was not the only one calling to Tawheed in his day and time. There were others in and around other countries calling to Tawheed, and this was a movement that Allah allowed to happen, not only by the Sheikh. He was not the only one, but there were others elsewhere also moving towards in the same direction, calling Tawheed. Other people writing, and other people calling the people back to the worship of Allah in Him alone. There is a quote from Shawkan, rahimahullah, that talks about the situation of the Ummah at that time. When he explained the hadith in his book, Nair al-Anfar, the hadith where Ali said that the Prophet sent him out on a mission. And part of the command that he gave him on that mission was not to leave any grave except that he leveled it. Meaning the graves that were built up. The Prophet told Ali to level them to the ground. This is part of the mission that the Prophet himself gave Ali. Shawkani said that the condition of graves at the time, at his time, was exactly this, that they were built up, they were made into shrines, and people were visiting them, and the Prophet ﷺ cursed the people who treated graves this way. He cursed the people who made graves into places of prayer. And this is a situation, he said, that makes the entire Muslim Ummah cry. And he said that the kuffar, and when we look at the descriptions of the idol worshippers and the way that they treated their idols, believing that they were able to benefit them or protect them from harm, we find that the people of the Muslim were treating their so-called Sufi saints who were buried in their graves the same way that the idol worshippers treated their idols. They would travel from long distances to visit them, just like people. The people of the idol worshippers would travel long distances to meet these little statues and pray to them. At the time of the Shaykh, rahimahullah, just 200 years ago, there were people traveling from long distances to come to graves to worship the people who were buried in those graves, thinking that those dead people had some power to help them or protect them from harm. They would travel long distances to go to these graves, rub their faces and their hands all over these graves. And to summarize all of that, there is no act from the actions of the idol worshippers in Jahiliyyah and how they treated their idols, except that the people in the time of the Shaykh treated their Sufi saints in their graves the exact same way, committing all of the acts of shirk that the people did in the past. And so, Shawkani said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." Because this is such a catastrophe, saying those words that we're supposed to say, when a great catastrophe falls, indeed to Allah we belong, and indeed to Him we shall return. And so, Shawkani, rahimahullah, he wrote some very strong speech about the issue, historically, the issue of shirk that was prevalent throughout the Muslim world in general, and specifically in Yemen at his time. Tawbah, Shaykh.
Well, Sayyati Aydan, Salamu al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, ta'ala, الذي أعتبره نصوصا في التأثر كيف تأثرت اليمن بدعوة الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب حتى هدموا معالم الشيخ؟ إلا أنني هنا قبل الدخول في هذا أنبه على مسألة التأثر، وأنها منذ ذلك العصر إلى يومنا هذا، وأنه ينبغي أن يعلم أن هذا التأثر منه ما وافق دعوة الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب التي هي دعوة إلى الكتاب والسنة جملة وتفصيلا، مع وقوع بعض الأخطاء لا يخلو منها مسلم أكان عالما أم جاهلا. ومنها ما خفي عليهم بعضها، ومن التأثر أيضا وهو الثاني من تأثر بهذه الدعوة إلى يومنا هذا، إلا أنهم وافقوه في مسألة التوحيد من جهة الإلهية والربوبية والأسماء والصفات، ولكنهم غرتهم الدنيا فقط هي الدعوة، وخالفوا علماء الأمة ككثيرين من المنتسبين إلى الجماعات والحركات والأحزاب، فهؤلاء لا نرفع بهم رأسا، وإنما نرفع رأسا بمن لزم الكتاب والسنة ومضى على ما كان عليه سلف الأمة وترك كل أصول الأهواء، كما نبه على هذا أو بينه الإمام أحمد بن حنبل رحمه الله تعالى في أصول السنة. نعم.
Upcoming, we'll mention some of the speech from Sheikh Hani rahimahullah, who's talking about how Yemen specifically was affected by the da'wah of Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah. And there were people who felt the effects and were influenced by that da'wah and continue to be so up until today. So there were individuals who were influenced by the da'wah and the call back to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a general fashion and when it comes to the specifics thereof. However, they're human beings and they made mistakes. So they were influenced by the da'wah of the Shaykh, but it doesn't mean that they didn't have any mistakes. And a Muslim, whether he's a scholar or a layman, is bound to have some mistakes. So people were influenced to different degrees by the da'wah of the Shaykh. There were people who were influenced by the da'wah of the Shaykh and agreed with him in issues of the tawheed of Allah when it comes to his ruhiyah and his rubiyah and his asma and sifat. However, they were deceived by the temptations of material gain in this world. And for that reason, they went and followed different political groups and basically the ahzab, those who are influenced by, or those who are driven by political motives. And so they depart with authentic teachings of the religion for the sake of material gain. And the important thing is not what individuals who may have been influenced by the da'wah may be upon of mistakes. The important thing is what the salaf of this ummah were upon. As Imam Ahmad rahimahullah mentioned in his book, Usul al-Sunnah.
والأمر الآخر الذي أنبه عليه قبل ذكر بعض نصوص الشوكاني وغير الشوكاني في تأثير دعوة الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب في اليمن، أنبه على أن هذه الدعوة وهذا العالم كغيرها وكغيره من المصلحين الذين تشاع عنهم الأكاذيب والأباطيل وتبلغ إلى غيرهم الأخبار الكاذبة، وقد نبه وقبل هذا وقد كان من آثار ذلك ما نصل إلى الصنعاني رحمه الله تعالى من تراجعه عن قصيدته التي ذكرناها سلفا، والصحيح أنه لم يرجع عنها، وأن هذا من الكذب الصراح في أنه رجع عن هذه القصيدة. وبذلك أيضا ما ذكره الشوكاني عليه رحمة الله في البدر الطالع من جملة ما ينقل عنه إليه وما ينقل عن أتباعه. واختار لك نصا لأنه ذكر لك قتل من لا يصلي الجماعة، وهذا كذب على الشيخ وعلى تلاميذه ومسائل أخرى. ومن ذلك أنه أيضا يقول لأن بعض الناس، قال الشوكاني، وبعض الناس يزعم أنه يعتقد اعتقاد الخوارج، وما أظن ذلك صحيحا، فإن صاحب نجد وجميع أتباعه يعملون بما تعلموه من محمد بن عبد الوهاب، وكان حنبليا ثم طلب الحديث بالمدينة المشرفة فعاد إلى نجد وصار يعمل باجتهادات جماعة من متأخري الحنابلة كابن تيمية وابن القيم وأضرابهما، وهما من أشد الناس على معتقد الأموات، إلى آخر كلام الشوكاني رحمه الله. وهو كلام حسن ونفيس كما ذكرت لكم في البلد الطالع.
Before mentioning some of the texts and citing some of the statements and writings of Shoukani and others with him, referring to the effect that the da'wah of the Shaykh had in Yemen, we'd like to mention that the da'wah of the Shaykh and the Shaykh himself, rahimahullah, like others who were revivalist scholars who were trying to rectify and fix the situation that was so broken up in the Islamic world, there's a general thing, general common factor that they all have, something that they all have in common, those who are trying to rectify the broken situation of societies. That is, the people tell lies about them. So, one of the lies that was told about Al-Sana'ani, for example, was the aforementioned poem that we stated, or the side of the stanza from, which was talking about his praise of the Shaykh and his da'wah. People lied upon Al-Sana'ani and said that he wrote that poem and then he took it back. He regretted writing it, and so he took it back and said that he no longer agreed with the da'wah of Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab. And that's a lie. He didn't take it back. He stayed upon that. And those who say that he took it back and regretted having written that poem, this is a lie that they told about him. Also in his book, or that book that's entitled The Rising Moon, it said that basically there were some more lies that were spread, and I apologize, some of the details there escaped me. Also, Shoukani rahimahullah said that some people claim that he, meaning Shaykh Sultan Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, he was upon the belief or the creed of the Khawarij. So that was another lie that was attributed to Shaykh Sultan Muhammad Abdul Wahhab. They said that he held the beliefs of the Khawarij, and Shoukani said, that couldn't be true. I don't believe that to be true at all. Because he was on the methodology of the great Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, and he was a student of Hadith in Medina, and when he returned to his home area of Najd, he began to make ijtihad according to the principles laid down by his predecessors and scholars of the Hanbali Madhab, like Sheikh Islam ibn Taymiyyah and his student Ibn al-Qayyim, and he was from the strongest of people against the ideology and the belief of the Khawarij. Allah
Shia. وهنا سأذكر هذه أو بعض هذه النصوص التي تنص على أثر دعوة الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب على أهل اليمن في تجديد الدين وإعادة ما كان عليه أهل الإسلام من اتباع الكتاب والسنة وما كان عليه سلف الأمة. ذكر الشوكاني رحمه الله تعالى في ترجمة سعود بن عبد العزيز بن محمد بن سعود، وهو حفيد محمد بن سعود الذي قام بالدعوة مع الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب، قال: كان جده محمد شيخا لقريته التي هو فيها، فوصل إليه انتبهوا لهذا. فوصل إليه الشيخ محمد الشيخ العلامة محمد بن عبد الوهاب الداعي إلى التوحيد المنكر على المعتدين في الأموات، فأجابه وقام بنصره، وما زال يجاهد من يخالفه. وكانت تلك البلاد قد غلبت عليها أمور الجاهلية، وصار الإسلام فيها غريبا، وما زال الوافدون من سعود يفدون إلينا إلى صنعاء، إلى حضرة الإمام المنصور، وإلى حضرة ولد الإمام المتوكل بمكاتيل إليهما بالدعوة إلى التوحيد. لاحظ الدعوة إلى التوحيد وهدم القبور المسيدة والقباب المرتفعة. ويكتب إلي أيضا مع ما يصل من الكتب إلى الإمامين. ثم وقع الهدم للقباب والقبور المسيدة بصنعاء في كثير من الأماكن المجاورة. هذا واحد من النصوص التي بين فيها الشوكاني الأثر القديم لدعوة الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب في ذلك الزمن، وأنه وصل بحكام ذلك القطب إلى أن يجيبوا هذه الدعوة، فيتم القباب والقبور والمشاهد التي كانت في صنعاء، قال الشوكاني، وفي كثير من الأمكنة المجاورة. نعم.
There are a number of texts which are cited talking about the influence that the da'wah of the Shaykh Rahimahullah had upon Yemen in returning the people to the deen and calling them back to the original sources and authentic texts of the book, the Sunnah, and what the Salaf of the Ummah were upon. So we find that in the biography of Sa'ud ibn Abdulaziz ibn Muhammad ibn Sa'ud, basically, he was the grandson of Imam Muhammad ibn Sa'ud, who was the political leader, who was the right-hand man of Shaykh Islam Muhammad ibn Abd al-Wahhab in establishing the da'wah in Najd. It was mentioned in his biography that when Shaykh al-Allama Muhammad ibn Abd al-Wahhab reached his village with the message in the da'wah to Tawheed, he was calling people back to the worship of Allah, and he was rebutting those who were committing shirk and calling upon the dead. He said his grandfather was at the aid of the da'wah of the Shaykh in making jihad alongside with him in those places where there was a prevalence of graves that were being worshipped, just like was the case in the times of Jahiliyyah, to such an extent that Islam became something that was strange at that time. Those who were authentically practicing the teachings of Islam and singing out Allah with worship and not committing shirk, they became strangers in their land, from that land all the way to Sana'a. So part of the strategy of Shokani writes, part of the strategy of the da'wah of the Shaykh was that he would go to the leaders of the areas and present his da'wah to them, and then they, being leaders, would implement those teachings on the areas that they had the control of. And so, when he convinced them that it was a violation of the Islamic teachings to have graves that were built up high and which people visited and made dua to, those leaders would go level those graves to the ground, just like was the teaching that the Prophet ﷺ gave to Ali when he sent him out on that mission. And so, it became the case that one of the leaders of Sana'a was affected by the da'wah, and because of that, he, that leader of Sana'a in Yemen, went and leveled all the graves by himself. So that was one of the strategies that the da'wah took. One of the courses that the da'wah took in Yemen was it was affecting the leaders, and the leaders were implementing and bringing about change by doing away with these graves that were a source of shirk in Sana'a and the surrounding areas.
انظر ايضا الى ما ذكره في زمة الشريف ساعد الذي كان أميرا على مكة في زمن عبد العزيز بن سعود. قال الشوكاني رحمه الله يعني عن حال من كان تحت ولاية عبد العزيز بن سعود، قال: ومن دخل تحت حوزته أقام الصلاة والزكاة والصيام وسائر شرائع وسائر الإسلام، ودخل في عرب الشام الساكنين ما بين الحجاز وصعدة غالبهم إما رغبة وإما رهبة، وصاروا لاحظ وصاروا مقيمين لفرائض الدين بعد أن كانوا لا يعرفون من الإسلام شيئا ولا يقومون بشيء من واجباته إلا مجرد التكلم بلفظ الشهادتين على ما في لفظ بها من عوج وبالجملة، فكانوا جاهلية جهلاء كما توارث الأخبار. ثم صاروا الآن يصلون صلوات بأوقاتها ويأتون بسائر الأركان الإسلامية على أبلغ سبيلها. فأي نص أوضح من هذا في تأثير دعوة الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب ودعوة أحفاده ودعوة أمراء آل سعود في ذلك الوقت على اليمن وعلى ما حولها؟ نعم.
Likewise, the leader of, or the governor of the area of Mecca at the time, the Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Saud, Shukani wrote about him that those who were under his, jurisdiction at the time, basically the people were not making salah, they were not giving zakah, they were not fasting Ramadan or performing any of the other obligatory actions of the pillars of the deen. This was the case in the area of Hijaz, Mecca and the surrounding area. This was the case in Syria. And those who were under his jurisdiction, once he was affected by the da'wah and the teachings, the authentic teachings of Islam began to spread, the practice of the religion became prevalent. After they had been in a situation where the only thing that they knew of Islam was pronouncing the Shahada. As for making salah, fasting, giving zakat, and so on and so forth, there was no practice of this. The people were in a state, mostly of Jahiliyyah. So once the governor of that region was affected, and he began to let the da'wah spread, then the people started practicing the outward rituals of the religion, from praying and fasting, and so on and so forth. These are from the fruits of the da'wah of the Sheikh. From the Sheikh.
وقال رحمه الله تعالى أيضا في ترجمة الشريف غالب المتقدم: وفي سنة 15 و200 وصل من صاحب نجد المذكور مجلدان لطيفان أرسل بهما إلى حضرة مولانا الإمام حفظه الله، أحدهما يشتمل على رسائل لمحمد بن عبد الوهاب كلها في الإرشاد إلى إخلاص التوحيد والتنفير من الشرك الذي يفعله المعتقدون في القبور، وهي رسائل جيدة مشحونة بأدلة الكتاب والسنة. والمجلد الآخر الرد على جماعة من المقصرين من فقهاء صنعاء وصعدة ذكروه في مسائل متعلقة بأصول الدين، وبجماعة من الصحابة فأجاب عليهم جوابات محررة مقررة محققة تدل على أن المجيب من العلماء المحققين العارفين بالكتاب والسنة، وقد هدم عليهم جميع ما بنوا وأبطل جميع ما دونوا لأنهم مقصرون متعصبون إلى آخر كلامه. وهذا الموضع هو موضع ذاك الموضع الذي كنت أتحدث فيه من كلام الشوكاني، هو موضع العمل بالدين، يعني التوحيد وما يقاربه من هذه الخطور، وكذلك لزوم أوامر الدين. وهنا يأتي الشوكاني إلى تأثير دعوة الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب في جانب العلم في لزوم الدليل، وهذا من أهم المهمات التي قامت عليها دعوة الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب، فإنه كان داعية التوحيد وكانت داعية إلى رجوع الناس إلى الكتاب والسنة ونبذ الأهواء. فهو هنا يقول وهي رسائل جيدة مشحونة بأدلة الكتاب والسنة، ثم ذكر ما كان عليه بعض فقهاء صنعاء وصعدة وما كانوا عليه من المخالفة، وأنه دمجهم بالأجوزة المحررة والمحققة. وعلى يقول محمد بن عبد الوهاب وإنما يقصد من جاء بعده في زمن عبد العزيز. نعم.
Shoukani continued to write about one of the governors of Mecca that in the year 1215, once the da'wah of the Shaykh had reached Najd, or had reached the area of where this particular governor was at, his da'wah reached and it was full with the call to ikhlas, singling out Allah with worship and warning against shirk and those who are grave worshippers. And his writings were full with evidence from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and refutations of those who were shortcoming, who had their shortcomings from the scholars of Sana'a. He mentioned a number of affairs that were related to fundamental teachings of belief in the religion, and refuted them with evidence from the bona fide scholars of the past. And those who were recognized to be scholars of his time recognized him to be a scholar, someone who knew what he was talking about, someone who was an authority when it came to the various branches of the sciences of the religion. Shoukani continues saying, when it comes to the establishing of the da'wah of the Shaykh, part of it, a central part, one of those necessary components of his da'wah, was the knowledge-based science, that is, the strive for knowledge and how the da'wah must be built upon the foundation of correct knowledge. That is, when he was calling people, what he was calling them back to was establishing themselves upon evidence, upon textual evidence from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and going back to what is authentic from the religion and throwing behind one's back following personal desires and whims. So his writings, the treatises that he wrote, were filled with evidence and showing people with evidence from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam what they're supposed to be upon, and pointing out with evidence the mistakes of those scholars in Sana'a who were upon this guidance.
ثم بعد ذلك وبعد هذا الخطواف السريع في كلام الشوكاني في تأثر هذه الدعوة، لا بد وأن تعلم أن هذا قد استمر بسبب تحمل المتأخر ما كان عليه المتقدم، وبهذا يبقى الدين ويبقى العلم وتبقى الدعوة. وقد استمر العلماء رحمهم الله في هذا الأمر، سواء كانوا من أهل اليمن أم كانوا نجد، تأثروا في اليمن وفي هذه الدعوة. وسنستعرض فيما تبقى من الوقت استعراضا سريعا للدعوة المعاصرة بضرب بعض النماذج، وسأضرب بثلاثة نماذج فقط وإلا فهي كثيرة. أما النموذج الأول فهو أثر اتصال دعوة الشيخ العلامة المصلح شيخ شيوخنا عبد الباب بن محمد القرعاوي رحمه الله في جنوب الجزيرة عموما، إلى أن وصل هذا التأثير في القطر اليماني لإنشاء المدارس، حتى ذكر تلميذه عمر بن أحمد جرزي المدخلي وكذلك صاحب الكتاب عن المسيرة، ذكروا المدارس التلمية التي كانت في اليمن وتأسست بسبب طلاب الشيخ عبد الله بن محمد القرعاوي، وأنها تأسست في سنة 72 و300 تجديد مدرسة في مدينة حرب وما حولها. وهكذا أيضا توسعت المناطق وطلب الدعوة إلى أماكن كثيرة. وقد ذكر لنا أيضا شيخنا العلامة علي بن يحيى الزكي رحمه الله شيخ من هذا لتأثر هذه الدعوة بتلك البلاد، لأنه زار اليمن مرارا. ودعوة الشيخ عبد الله بن محمد القرعاوي في جنوب الجزيرة من أعظم وأكبر الدعوات وأثرها عظيم جدا، والتي كان أيضا من نتاجها وثمارها وآثارها الكثير من أهل العلم وحملة الدين. نعم.
Shokhan continued to write, talking about those who have been influenced by the Dawah of the Sheikh, that the contemporaries, as well as the classical scholars, had all agreed on this methodology. And the scholars in Yemen, as well as Najd and the other areas, they all were going with the flow of this Dawah because of its force and its concentration upon the authentic teachings of the deen. We're just going to give a few examples in modern times. And for example, when it comes to the Sheikh Muslih, the one who was a rectifier, when it comes to referring the affairs of the da'wah and putting them back in the place that they're supposed to be, Abdullah bin Hamad al-Qara'awi, rahimahullah, in the southern part of the Arabian Peninsula. His da'wah was great. The number of students he had were massive, and they spread out. Because he was close to the Yemeni border, many of his students went to Yemen and spread his da'wah there. And so they even set up schools. Some of his students who had studied with him went to Yemen and set up schools. That is, Sheikh al-Qara'awi. So many of the regions there were affected by the da'wah of the Sheikh. That is, Sheikh Abdullah al-Qara'awi. And so its effect on generally on the southern part of the Arabian Peninsula, the southern part of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, as well as the northern areas and Yemen, had a great effect by this da'wah. From the Sheikh.
ثم بعد ذلك هو من ذلك أيضا هو النموذج الثاني معذرة أن سماحة الشيخ عبد العزيز بن عبد الله بن بارك رحمه الله كان يرسل الدعاة وطلاب العلم والعلماء من طلابه وممن استفادوا منه أيضا إلى اليمن، وقد دخلها جندة كبيرة. إلا أنني سأذكر في هذا المقام العالم العلامة شيخ الشيوخ الشيخ العلامة بن عبد الوهاب البنا رحمه الله. وهنا ينبغي أن تعلموا أيضا أن العلم والدعوة ليست محصورة في التصانيف، وبعض الناس يقول أين مصنفات الشيخ القرعاوي مثلا، أين مصنفات الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب البنا، حتى أنني قلت لشيخنا العلامة أحمد بن يحيى النجم من فائلة عرضتها عليه، سألته في ضمنها عن قول بعض الناس بأن الشيخ القرعاوي لم يترك مصنفات، فقال ترك ما هو أعظم أحيى الله به أمة كانت على الشرك في هذه البلاد. ترجم هذا وسأرجع للشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب.
The second example we would like to mention about the fruits of the da'wah of the Sheikh are the likes of the great scholar Abdulaziz Abdullah bin Baz, who used to send his students and du'a and scholars to the various regions, calling back to the da'wah and the fruits, and those who have been affected by what we are in the process of addressing. So the likes of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab al-Banna, he was affected by this da'wah. It might be said that he didn't leave behind him any writings. So when we talk about Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab al-Banna, where are his books that he wrote? He was active in da'wah, but where are the books that he left behind him? Sheikh Abdullah al-Qara'awi, where are the books that he left behind him? We don't find on the shelves the books that he has written. Sheikh Mustafa al-Allah, he said that, I once asked our Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi that some issue that some people are bringing up, that is, people are saying, okay, Sheikh Abdullah al-Qara'awi is mentioned as one of the scholars in history, but where are the books that prove his legacy? Where are the books that show us his legacy of knowledge that he has left behind? How are we to know that he had achieved this great status of knowledge? Where's the proof? Where are his writings? Where are his books? I asked him this question, and Sheikh Ahmed Najmi, rahimahullah, said he left behind something much more powerful than books. The legacy that he left behind was not written on paper. He brought back to life a dead nation. A nation that was dead was committing shirk. He brought them back to Tawheed. That's the legacy that he left behind. From the Sheikh.
أن الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب البنا قد نظر إلى بعض مناطق اليمن وحدثني في بعض الرحلات بعض من لقيه هناك وما قام به من الدعوة أيضا إلى التوحيد والتأثير الذي لقيه بسبب هذه الزيارة وهذه الرحلة. إنما أردت أن أذكر هذا لأبين لكم أن هذه الدعوة لابد وأن يتصل آخرها بأولها، وأنه مهما حصل من الفتور بين هذه الأزمان فإنه يرجع بعد ذلك وينتحش ويعيش أعلى الأوقات وأفضلها. نعم.
So, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab al-Banna, he made a trip to Yemen in which he visited several areas and was calling the people to Tawheed. So, this was a journey that was based on da'wah. And so, we can tie up the former or the last part of our speech with the beginning and seeing how all of these things come together. Allah Sheikh.
Well, al-Thalatha. هو شيخنا ووالدنا علامة اليمن ورحامتها والذي هو قرة في جسيم هذا الزمان العلامة المقبل ابن هادي الواجعي رحمه الله. ولو ذكرنا ما يتعلق بترجمته وديونه وجهاده وما قام به من الدعوة إلى التوحيد، وأن دعوته كما يقول شيخنا العلامة الفوزان من إقرار بسؤال من كتاب لدعوة الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب، فإنه درس في هذه البلاد في جامعاتها الجامعة الإسلامية وفي الحرم المكي وفي الحرم المدني، ثم ذهب إلى اليمن وقد درس العلم وقام بالدعوة العظيمة التي لا يزال أهل اليمن يتفيئون ظلالها، بل هي حسنة من حسنات دعوة الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب. وكان الشيخ رحمه الله معظما له وبدعوته ولعلماء هذه البلاد، فقام بالدعوة إلى الله على أكمل وجه بما نحسبه والله حسيبه بما يطيقه البشر، فدعا إلى التوحيد ومد الشرك وصلح المصنفات الرد على المعتزلة في الشفاعة والجامع الصحيح في القدر، ونقض عرى الرفض والاعتزال وزلزله بكتابه طاقة الزلزال وكتبه في هذا المضمار عظيمة. ونشر التمسك بكتاب السنه ومن البدع والتقليد والاهواء. ولا اعلم ان الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى علم بسنه استيقنها وعلم انها ثابته عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الا عمل بها وامر بها الناس. لم يترك شيئا قدر عليه رحمه الله الا وعلم به ما ثبت عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ومن ذهب الى دنيا من راى الشيخ ومن عاشر الشيخ رحمه الله علم ذلك. حتى اني صليت يوما بجانبه واذا به يقول والنادي صلوا في نعالكم ربما لا تدركون هذه السنه فيما بعد. ومع هذا كان يمنع من الصلاه بالنعال في يوم الجمعه بما يشهده العوام. وعلى كل حال فان دعوه الشيخ مقبل عليه رحمه الله من الاثار العظيمه التي كانت لدعوة الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب ولدراسته وتعلمه في هذه البلاد وللقاءها كالشيخ ابن باز ومن معه من المشايخ ومن اخوانه الذين عاصروه. ولا يزال هذا الجهد وهذا الجهاد موجودا الحمد لله. ثبت الله عليه من يشاء من خلقه ومن حفظ فما ضر الا نفسه وسينبذه التاريخ كما نبذ هذه الدعوه ونبذ السنه. نعم.
Here another example is the great scholar of Yemen, the one who is a role model for us all in our day and time, Sheikh Muqbil ibn Hadi al-Wadi'i rahimahullah. When it comes to his biography and the legacy that he left behind and the history of how he renewed the da'wah in his country, this goes back to the influence of Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab Allah. As our Sheikh Salah Bazan, when he was asked about the da'wah, that is the da'wah of Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, how it affected and spread throughout Mecca and Medina and the different centers of learning there, and how that was an influence of people coming from Yemen to learn in Mecca and Medina and go back to their lands to teach the people. This da'wah, that is the da'wah in Mecca and Medina, which received and welcomed students from Yemen who took that message back to their people. The people of Yemen continue to be under the shade of that da'wah and benefiting, reaping its fruits. And so the da'wah of Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah was indeed a jihad in the path of Allah, and calling the people back to the Tawheed and warning them against shirk. And we have from his writings those which destroy the arguments of the atheists and the Rafila and the Mu'tazila and the likes, and call people back to holding tight and clinging to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that which is a waging a war against the different political groups that have gone off on tangents, and those who are following their desires. And from the well-known fruits of this Imam, that is, we're talking about Sheikh Muqbil, that never is it known that he came to know about a Sunnah and was certain of its authenticity, except that he would act upon it. And everyone who knew the Sheikh rahimahullah knows this about him. Whenever he would come to know about something that was from the Sunnah, he would put it into practice. The Sheikh says that even one day that I prayed next to him in a masjid where the Jum'ah was established for the common folk, and because it was raining, the call to prayer was made for people to pray at home, as is established Sunnah. And this was something that he implemented. And so, Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, when talking about and addressing the da'wah of that took place in Yemen, addressed this point. He himself, as well as his students, and this is an ongoing da'wah. It's continuous. Not only was it during his life, but his students continue to carry this banner up until this day. Tawlashin.
ومن أراد أن يطلع على الحال التي كانت عليها اليمن في مصنفات أهلها وأصحابها والتي كانت سببا في تأخر العلم والإسلام فلينظر إلى كتاب عامل لا أنصح بقراءته بهذه الكتب لكن من كان طالب علم فلينظر إلى كتاب طبقات الخواص أهل الصدق والإخلاص للشرب الزبيبي عن أسف وما فيه من الخرافات والزعبلات وحكايات الكرامات والعجائب والغرائب وهكذا ما يتعلق بكتاب النشر الروي في مناقب السادة الكرام آباء العلم فإن فيها من الضلالات والانحرافات ما يبين لك ما كانت عليه تلك البلاد قبل دخول هذه الدعوة وقد ذكر العلامة القاضي إسماعيل الأقلع رحمه الله تعالى في كتابه هجر العلم ومعاقله جملة من التراء سواء كانت من حكم اليمن أو من أهل العلم أذكر لكم خاتمة لهذه الكلمة كلاما له في ترجمة أحمد بن موسى بن علي بن عمر بن عجيل أبو العباس ذكر ذلك في ترجمته في المجلد الأول منه من هجر صفحة 222 وإنما أذكر هذا لتعلموا أنه لو حيل بين الدعوة إلى الله وبين العلماء وبين الحكام ولم يتدخل أصحاب الأغراض الدنيئة ويشوهون هذه الدعوة لكانت في أعلى منازلها قال رحمه الله تعالى في ترجمة المذكور وسأذكرها والباقي عليكم وكان على قبره تابوت وقبة أزالهما الإمام يحيى حميد الدين سنة 48 و300 حينما كان بعد أن تغلب على معارضة قبيلة الزوانيق التي كانت تعرف من قبل بالمعازبة امتداد نفوذ الإمام يحيى إلى بلادها ودخولها تحت حكمه كما أزال الإمام أحمد كذلك التابوت من على مع نقطة الإمام لمن يحكم اليمن وخصوصا الأعلى منهم قال كما أزال الإمام أحمد كذلك التابوت من على قبر أحمد بن عنوان في يقص من ناحية جبل حبش سنة 62 و300 باعتقاد جهالة العامة لصاحبي القبرين الضر والنبع وتالله لقد أحسن الإمام أحمد صنعا في كلتا الحالين ولو أن يده امتدت إلى سائر القباب والتوابيت الأخرى التي يعتقد عامة الناس في أصحابها الضر والنفع لأنزل الله مثوبته أحسن إليه ولا سيما القبور التي يلتمس عندها العافية والبركة ويرجون منها النفع ودفع الضر والشر كتلك التي ذكر شيخ الإسلام الإمام محمد بن علي الشوكاني رحمه الله في رسالته البر النظيم في إخلاص كلمة التوحيد صفحة 12 أنه روي له أن بعض أهل جهات القبلة إلى آخر ما ذكره القاضي الأقلع من كلام الشوكاني رحمه الله تعالى فعلى كل حال كما ذكرت لكم من أهل اليمن من تأثر تأثرا تاما بدعوة الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب ومنهم من لطفه في بعض الأمور وغلى في جوانب أخرى الله سبحانه وتعالى التوفيق والسداد والهدى والرشاد للجميع فهو ولي ذلك والقادر عليه وأصلي وأسلم على عبده ورسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
So I'm going to summarize and abridge, make very short some long details that were mentioned by the Sheikh. Just to sum up, in the student's analysis, he mentioned several books and a few details that were mentioned in the books. I apologize that authors, titles of the books, and many of the details that he mentioned, fast, and escaped me. To sum up the main idea, however, there is a historical record in the literature of the scholars of Islam showing that the situation of the people of Yemen was generally a situation of shirk. And this is documented in detail, the superstitions and the acts of shirk and how the people were worshipping graves and so on and so forth. This is something that is well documented in detail in the books of the scholars at the time of the da'wah of the shaykh. Just talking about 200 years ago. There are vivid examples of these that are down in writing on paper in the libraries that show the situation of the people that they were committing shirk before the da'wah of the shaykh. And many people in Yemen, walillahil hamd, were influenced either a little or a lot by his da'wah. And so it had its great fruits, not only in his area, but those fruits extended to the area of Yemen and elsewhere throughout the world. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to have his mercy upon the Shaykh, and we ask him to guide us to what is pleasing and belong to him. And we conclude by invoking his salat and salam upon our Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakum Allah kullu khayr, Shaykhna. Allah yubarak fiikum.
Ma'am, ya'khid,
ma'am? Na'am. Allah yakhtub ajrakum, Shaykhna. Nashkurukum kathira. Nasallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aflan, ma'am,
Aflan?
أقول باسم الإخوة جميعا نشكركم على ما قدمتم ونسأل الله أن يطرح بما
وأنتم جزاكم الله خيرا وبارك الله لكم فيكم ووفقكم الله وسددكم وجزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.